All right, 239-1310, 239-1310. In the studio is Congressman Andre Carson. He is running for the Democratic nomination for 7th District Congress. 7th District Congress is all of Center, Wayne, Warren, Decatur, Perry, Franklin, and most of Pike, Washington, and Lawrence Townships. Congressman, how you doing?
Dr. Brown, it's an honor to be here.
So we got to ask you, why are you running again?
Well, you know, that's a great question. Since I've been in office for 6 years now, at least Congress, and I've been able to bring back over $500 million to Indianapolis that has translated into jobs, it has translated into securing jobs, it has translated into more funding for educational opportunities, it has translated into small businesses benefiting, it has translated into numerous grant opportunities, it has translated into numerous grant opportunities for our housing agencies. And we're just trying to do the people's work. You know, I've been in office only 6 years. We've already had two pieces of legislation signed into law by President Obama. It usually takes a member of Congress 10 or 20 years, if that, to even get, maybe 30 years, to get legislation signed by the president. We've done it in under 6 years. We're trying to do a great job. We don't want to be here forever, but the time that we are here, we're trying to do the people's work.
Is it difficult doing that when there is a Republican majority that seems to spend more of their time voting to repeal certain laws than to get things done?
Well, certainly. I mean, it's never a fun thing to be in the minority, but what I can say is that I sat on financial services for nearly 5 years. I was in the midst of Wall Street reform. I helped co-sponsor a lot of that legislation. But now I sit on transportation. I'm the ranking member over the Economic Development Subcommittee. I'm also on Armed Services. And I can tell you about these two committees. What I can tell you is that the Republicans on those committees seem to be more open and more open to reaching across the aisle and working with Democrats, and we're doing a lot of good work with some Republicans as well.
One of the issues that have come up with the other candidates who are running for the 7th District has been aid for our veterans, a feeling that the red tape for our veterans needs to end. There's people upset about the cut in federal benefits for veterans that I think was part of the sequester. Your position on support for our veterans?
I've been very consistent from day one about our support for our veterans. I was just at the VA a few weeks ago. You know, we always want to make sure that we're providing quality assistance to the men and women who have served our military. But, you know, we also have to make sure that whether it's helping to process a claim with the VA, which our staff does a phenomenal job with, finding housing for a homeless veteran, or even connecting veterans with their families, we want to make sure that we are delivering impeccable service to our vets. Certainly the sequester hurt our VA community, but across the country, Dr. Brown, only a very small number of people who ever served in our nation's military have really those stories to tell in terms of not being able to find jobs. And what we've been able to do at our annual job fair, we've identified employers who are more than eager to hire veterans and get veterans back to work. We honor their service. We want to make sure that they're honored. We don't want another Vietnam War where we had troops serving our country only to come back to be rejected. We want to reaffirm their commitment to our country, but rest assured that we're keeping an eye on the problems that exist with the VA, and I'm prepared to get behind any solution that will decrease any backlogs that may occur. But, you know, fortunately, Congress and the VA have been working together closely to ensure that a plan is in place to eliminate the backlog. But as a result, we're seeing a slower and slower decrease.
All right. This is your opportunity to talk with Congressman Andre Carson. He's running for the Democratic nomination for 7th District Congress in the election that is coming up on May the 6th. You can early vote now, even though the Secretary of State sent out a press release and didn't remind anybody that you could early vote in counties across the state, but you could do that here at the City County Building daily from, I think it's 8:30 until 5. 239-1310. 239-1310 gets you in touch with the conversation, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, 37890, keyword Amos. Your calls and questions for the congressman, asking him the issues that are important to you after these. Let's start with Jerome. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Congressman Carson, how you doing?
Hello.
Congressman, I'm a 58-year-old white man. It's from the 7th District. Mm-hmm. I do mentoring for the last 25, 30 years up in the Brightwood-Martindale area.
Thank you.
And one of the things that I've experienced over the last 4 or 5 years, some of the kids that are in my program that are working, and I help them do their own taxes, show them how to do their own taxes. And when we get down to the earned income tax credit, they don't qualify because they're under 25 years old and single. But yet their friends who are under 25 went out and got pregnant and only worked for 4 or 5 months during a year, not only qualify for the earned income tax credit, but they also get the benefit, you know, for child. I know you know that that's in there, but I was wondering why, you know, children that are working, out there doing the right thing, going to school, learning, you know, doing the things they're supposed to be doing, and then they don't qualify for a program that should be there because they are earning income.
That's a great question. I've not heard it put that way before. Congressman?
Neither have I. I do know that you can qualify for the earned income tax credit if you worked last year, even if you didn't earn a lot of money. So we know that it's a refundable tax credit that effectively means you could qualify for a tax refund even if you didn't have federal tax income withheld. But it's perplexing to me. If you would please call our office, 283-6516, 283-6516, and talk to Megan Sims, we could investigate this issue more deeply.
I'm wondering, is it because they're male?
No. It's the federal law,
right,
that you have to be 25 years old,
right,
or older. The only way that you get it if you are under 25 is if you are with child.
I get, okay.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, and I don't want to say that they're fraudulently misusing the system, but, you know, some people know how to work the system. So, you know, you go and you work for 4 or 5 months, and you're getting the extra earned income tax credit because you have a child.
I see your point, and it may have been previous Congresses trying, you know, to help because women make less than men. But I also see your point. Follow up with the Congressman's office. They'll be expecting your call. I appreciate that. Let me go to Thomas at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, Mr. Congressman.
Hello.
Just wanted to really thank you, not necessarily ask you a question, but to thank you. Last month you held the telephone town hall, and I found it just to be really informational, and I was able to get on the website and really get a good affordable plan, and I just wanted to really thank you.
I appreciate that. I'm glad you were listening in. We try to hold these town halls a lot more, Amos, because, you know, people have difficulty traveling and getting to places, so we try to make it convenient for folks. Thank you, sir.
All right, let me go to Billy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos, this is Billy Bro. I just called in to say hi to both you and the congressman. Earlier on your program, I listened to a Ajabo with distress. I just wanted to make some comments on that. And I guess it's suffice that I would say that I knew Julia Carson, and Ajabo was no Julia Carson. I also know Representative Carson, and he is his own man who has the philosophy and love for people that his grandmother had. He also has great intelligence and integrity and has won the appreciation and respect of his colleagues in D.C. because of this honesty and work ethic. And as he said earlier, he's also works within the system and has provided money back to Indianapolis to work for our improvement. We are fortunate to have Andre's leadership, and he has earned our support. And we will return him to Washington.
Thank you, Madam Auditor.
All right, let me go to Sean at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Congressman and Amos.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. I'm trying to get a better understanding. I'm a truck driver, so I'm always listening to different radio stations. So I always listen like the Republicans. I'm trying to get both sides of you know, the way things are going. Mm-hmm. And they always talk about the Keystone Pipeline. I'm so confused on it. I'm trying to get a better understanding of, you know, they talk about all these different jobs that it could bring, and just trying to get a better understanding of why it's not going through, or why, you know, just the congressman, you know, to get his input on it.
Well, the Keystone Pipeline, that's a great question. You know, it's been pretty contentious because on one end, we're trying to get ourselves away from our dependency on foreign oil. We know that Congress doesn't determine oil prices, neither does the president. The world market does. And what we do know is that a lot of dictators over countries who have these oil resources, they are very hostile toward America and Americans. The objective is if we have a pipeline that works, we could not only lower gas prices, but we could gain more independence where we don't jeopardize our men and women in uniform, nor will we jeopardize some of our friendlier allies in similar regions where there are dictatorships and they're fighting over oil. Another concern has been the carbon footprint that exists in building such a pipeline. It's about safety more than anything. And,
Safety is the biggest thing of holding it up.
Yeah, I think that there are some safety concerns, and there are some jurisdictional concerns. If you go state by state, you have eminent domain concerns, as Amos knows. But it is certainly a job creator. I mean, Democrats are divided on this issue as well. What we can say is that organized labor has taken a firm stance in support of this issue. But I think more than anything, we need to make sure that it's safe before we approve it. We don't want to rush this through. We need to take into consideration the kind of footprint that it will have on our environment and the kind of impact it will have on residents in rural parts of our community in which this pipeline will go through. But more than that, it is a job creator.
But is the pipeline coming through here? This is where we need the jobs.
No. No, but it'll be close enough for us to ship the resources back to the 7th Congressional District in a much more efficient time.
All right, appreciate it. Let me move on to Barbara at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, hi, Amos.
Hi,
Congressman Carson.
Hello.
I just had a question. Who do I contact about some of the streets in the businesses in Hallville? They are horrible. They want to make money, but they don't want to put any money into their business lots or anything. And especially on 10th and Tibbs.
Yeah.
That gentleman at their gas station, he has two pumps working, and the lot just looks horrible. And I know it's Hallville, but it shouldn't have to look like that. And also about the street lights, some of those streets are so dark over there.
Mm-hmm.
They have one light on the corner. And there's nothing else. If someone's getting raped or something out there, you wouldn't be able to see a thing.
Yeah.
I went through and looked at every street, and it's terrible.
Well, Hallville deserves to look beautiful, too. My family's from Hallville. I will say that's a local issue. I don't know the counselor on Tibbs. I don't think it's my good friend Vop, who's doing a phenomenal job.
It's split between, I think, Vop on the eastern side and Councilwoman Marilyn Feaster.
Yeah, that's my old district.
But Barbara, you know, call. I'm gonna give you a number to call. You ready? I want you to call 327.
Yeah.
3601.
Ask for Deputy Mayor Olgin Williams, the unofficial mayor of Hallville.
Yeah.
Oh, from Chris Morehouse.
Yeah.
I know him. My daughter used to go there.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You need to tell him that he needs to clean up 10th and Tibbs.
Okay, thank you very much. I just didn't know who to call.
I have been
in touch with that, congressman or someone out there. He has a real funny name, but I have his personal number.
Counselor, is that Counselor Vop Osley?
Is that Bob Osley?
It's a number, a name that is very hard to pronounce.
Is it Osley? Like Vop?
Yeah.
No. It starts with an O.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's Osley.
Okay. He's a good guy. He's a hard worker.
He got the trash finally picked up with those guys coming out and wanting somebody to pay them to pick the trash, the heavy trash up.
Mm.
And they sit and yap out there at the mouth, which didn't even make sense. I wasn't about to pay him one penny.
All right, good point. Call Olgin Williams. Tell him the congressman said I sent you to him.
Olgin's a good brother.
All right, appreciate that. Let me go to William, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi, William.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing? How are you doing, Congressman?
How are you, sir?
Fine. I got one problem here about yes. Medicaid. I don't know if you can do anything about it or not. I don't know if it's local or if it's federal.
About the
spend down on Medicaid. I got Medicaid, but it's, I can't come to my spend down. It's too high, and because I'm not sick, I'm not that sick to to use a lot of spend down. And the only time I go to the doctor is when I just make an appointment or not feeling good or something like that. But I'm not in the nursing home, and I'm not in the hospital, in and out of the hospitals. But that spend down, I don't know if you can do anything about that or not, but I sure would like to see something done about that spend down on a lot of those that need it. It's
That's
okay.
Right.
But those that don't need it, and I'm one of them,
okay.
And I don't need the spend down.
Okay.
All right, let me let the Congressman respond.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we appreciate the call. You know, one of the things that we're wrestling with in Congress is how do we cut down on our deficit while avoiding the damage that could take place from some of our entitlement programs, such as Medicare and Medicaid. We know that the Republicans, particularly the Tea Party, they have been against any cost of living adjustment as it relates to our entitlement programs. They are for considerably cutting the benefits or the beneficiaries who get Medicare and Medicaid substantively. What we're trying to do is push back. One of the reasons why I'm against Paul Ryan's budget, he was here last week, is because he wants to cut back on Medicare and Medicaid. I think Congress needs to have an honest discussion about the fraud and abuse that has taken place or that takes place in the Medicaid system. But we also need to look at those folks who really need Medicaid. We need to look at those folks. We need to look at those states who have refused to expand Medicaid services across the country, Indiana included, and really hold those elected officials accountable. I think it's embarrassing, Amos. I think it's a tragedy that the wealthiest nation in recorded history has failed to address the issue of servicing the less fortunate.
All right. More your opportunity to talk with Congressman Andre Carson. He is running for the Democratic nomination for 7th District Congress, 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, or send me an email at praiseindy.com. It's Apps News with Amos after these. Back to the phones in Charlene. Hi there.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Amos and Congressman Carson. I have a personal dilemma going on with the state unemployment office.
Yes, ma'am.
I worked through a temporary service for several years up in Fishers at Sony, and they closed Sony, moved it somewhere else in the state, southern part of Indiana. So I was I got to draw my unemployment. I completed all the classes, training, and stuff that they had me going to. And fortunately, I was able to find another job through another service, which was February 19th of 2013. So I sent a notice when I set out a voucher and told them that I had received employment. I no longer needed to draw unemployment. So I worked a full year and a week through the second service, which was the DECO, at Von Duprin. And consequently, when the new company took over, they laid some of us off. So I've signed 9 vouchers so far. I have yet to receive 1 unemployment check. And this is what they say the problem is. They said I was scheduled to complete some type of orientation in March of 2013, which I had already notified them the month before, February, that I had received a new job. And so now they're saying, I'm getting the runaround. I've been there at least 2 days out of every week for the last 7 weeks. I've signed 9 vouchers.
When you notified them that you had a job, did you do that in writing? You do that over the phone?
I did over the phone.
But you did not receive any vouchers out of turn after you started working? You
no, did not, sir, did not.
So they obviously had to get the note in order to cut the...
cut my unemployment.
And so they're denying you unemployment because you never went to, did you know about that class?
Well, no, I didn't. I hadn't been notified of it until after I had started the job. So I called them and I told them right here on Shaylin, I said, well, I've been lucky enough to get a job. And so they said, well, you won't have to make the orientation of whatever was a training class. And so I had, when I was there yesterday, I was quite upset because I told the woman, I said, I'm just getting a runaround. And she told me herself, she said, ma'am, if I was you, she said, Andre Carson herself, she said, I would call Andre Carson. She said, they are giving you the runaround.
Absolutely.
And I, several weeks back now, I had a little writing in the box over to the right when I filled out my voucher.
Yes.
And so she even on a different woman. She emailed the deputy. Mm-hmm. She said, we're going to get it cleared up. So now all the writing has been gone for the last 2 weeks. She said, continue to file your voucher, which I am continuing to do. But yet still, I have not got one.
All right. Well, now, you done got
all
the
right.
Congressman.
All right. I need you to call 283-6516 and ask for Kim Rudolph. Ask for Kim Rudolph.
Okay, please give me that number one more time.
283-6516 and ask for Kim Rudolph.
So that's 283-6516. Ask for Kim Rudolph.
Ask for Kim Rudolph.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you're quite, you work at everybody in that office today. Let me go to Kevin at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, I want you to know you got the best show in the city.
Thank you. What's up?
Hi, Mr. Congressman.
Hello.
You know you're going back to Washington, D.C. I would like to know who you're backing for the sheriff and what you think about all this mudslinging that I'm not going to call his name is doing to you and about you.
Well,
thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, I think John Layton is the nominee. He's a good friend of mine. His agency has provided protection for me, given the death threats that I've received throughout the years. And I just think he's an honorable man. He served this county and city honorably, and I think he's going to sail on to a strong victory.
Is this campaign mudslinging?
You know, Amos, it comes with the territory. I do think that we have to focus on bigger issues. Most of us are concerned about jobs, improving our economy. We're concerned about empowering small businesses. I'm having a small business forum that I want to talk about before I leave the show. And we're concerned about those kinds of things. I think we have, this comes with the territory. People will say provocative things to get a reaction, and they'll make up things to get a reaction. And I think that, you can't carry the burden of someone else. Whatever guilt someone may feel about how things have gone and they see you as a symbol of all of that is wrong in their lives. I mean, I can't fix that. What I can do is be the best dad I can be the best husband I can be the best representative I can be, and serve the people well.
Let me go to Reverend Phillips right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
Fine.
How you doing, Carson?
Hey, sir.
Man, I tell you, boy, I'm telling you, that people should have sat down and be quiet. That's right. People should have be quiet. All this jealousy about somebody else. Man, they need to be quiet about something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They need to look at they self.
Mm.
That's ridiculous, man. All that jealousy. That's right.
All right, my brother, let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Good. I'd like to know, how does a legitimate ex-felon protect themselves in business and in their homes? We pay the same taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We paid our debt to society.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what do? Just roll over, and just take it, from the guy, that's trying to rob us, that breaks into our home, we're not allowed to have guns.
That's a great question. If I were you, I would look at some kind of expungement first in terms of your record. But secondly, I believe that everyone has a right to protect their person. Everyone has a right to protect their home. And every U.S. citizen has a reasonable expectation of privacy within their home.
I know there are some federal penalties felons carrying firearms. Has there been any conversation, given how strong the NRA is on Capitol Hill? Has the NRA ever spoken out about ex-felons who have turned their lives around and trying to be responsible citizens, why they can't have their Second Amendment right?
This is a debate that we often have in the Congressional Black Caucus. In fact, our colleague next door, Congressman Danny Davis and I have talked about this issue, because he and I, along with Congressman Bobby Scott, have worked together on reentry legislation and legislation that benefits ex-offenders. I know I introduced a bill called the Recidivism Reduction Act that allows those ex-offenders, once they're released and they have received benefits, Social Security benefits, whatever, for those benefits to kick in immediately so they don't recidivate back into a life of crime. With regards to the question, I mean, it's something that we debate. Even some of those more conservative members of the Congressional Caucus, or the Congressional Body, pardon me, who happen to be NRA members, who happen to be prior law enforcement like myself, we see both sides of the coin. To one degree, you want to give folks the right to protect their property and protect their persons and protect their families. But on the other end, for those folks who may have a history of mental illness or who may have a history of committing violent crimes against other persons, we certainly don't want firearms in their possession. So it's a huge debate. I hope it becomes a national debate. But right now, we're focused on health care and the economy.
Let me go to Charles at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, how you doing, Amos?
We're fine.
Congressman Carson?
Hello, fine. Hello.
Yeah, I have a couple of safety concerns.
Uh-huh.
The intersection at 46 and German Church and the intersection at 42nd and German Church. There's one stop sign on 46 and there's one stop sign on 42nd. But nobody has to stop going through German Church, and people are going through there like they're on Interstate 65. And there have been a few accidents, as far as I know, and I was just wondering, is there any way or anybody I can talk to about putting stoplights at those two intersections?
You know, first of all, Congressman, please send Mayor Ballard a bill for that question, since he won't come to answer, you know, Charles's question about 46 and 42nd in German Church, and you have to, at least you could do is send him a bill.
Well, people ask me questions a lot about potholes and streetlights, and I understand, because people don't, I don't think they necessarily know, but I appreciate his question, and we try to direct him to the mayor's office. But that's a question that the mayor will have to answer, sir.
The other thing, Charles, call. I'm going to give you a number to call. You ready?
All right.
327.
Okay. 327?
Mm-hmm. 4242.
Okay.
That's the office of the City County Council.
All right.
You tell them your address and the address of this problem. They will give you the phone number and the email of the council person for your district.
All right.
And then you get to them and tell them you talked to Congressman Carson, and he said call.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
All right.
you very much.
All right. You're quite welcome. Let me go to Tina at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. Hi, Congressman.
Hello. Hello.
It's so wonderful to hear from you. Thank I just you. Want to know, what's all the nonsense with Jabu and his interview on Amos? And him trying to run on your grandmother's good name. I just don't understand that.
Well, I mean, I can't answer the question is with regards to his motives. I can say that, you know, since I've been in office for 6 years, we've been able to bring back numerous resources. We've been able to bring back money for our police department to increase emergency response times. We've been able to help create jobs in just 6 years. We've had two bills signed into law. And so I can't question someone's motives or mistruths. I do know that we have a huge issue in our community. And I want to commend my good friend Robert Jackson, who I was with the other day. He's having a forum, Dr. Brown. And if I could plug my friend's forum quickly, along with some renowned pastors. We have my friend Rob Jackson. We have Pastor James Jackson of New Beginning Fellowship. We have Brother Marcus Robinson from Tinley. We have the great Reverend Dr. David Hampton from Light of the World Christian Church. And it's a forum focusing on the problems of crime in our community and really focusing on young black men who, across this country, black and Latino men, they're not graduating. Their rate is nearly 40%. And we're graduating some of these young men who happen to be functionally illiterate, and we need community stakeholders to come together to address these issues with the kind of specificity that's needed to move our country forward.
On crime, I appreciate the call, Tina. On crime, the mayor's office has talked about the fact that the White House and the president's initiative on My Brother's Keeper, that the White House seems to be proud of the things Indianapolis is doing with violence reduction, but nobody seems to know what those things are. Have you asked the White House what the things that they're impressed with in terms of violence reduction here in Indianapolis?
Well, I think one thing, we do have an impressive law enforcement apparatus as it relates to the Metro Police Department and the Sheriff's Department. I think we have some serious issues as it relates to the drug activity and the heroin pipeline from Chicago to Indianapolis, which has contributed a lot to these deaths. Which is why I commend, you know, Council President Maggie Lewis and Pastor Hampton and Regina Marsh, and I'm forgetting a lot of people right now who have implemented some community forums, and we've been a part of some of these forums. Our organization has been, because it's going to take a multiplicity of solutions to solve these deep problems. I can't say the White House has always had an affection toward Indianapolis. But so what we're trying to do is work with the White House and work with not-for-profits and NGOs with regards to the My Brother's Keeper initiative and identify some of these philanthropic efforts who are willing to make the investment in important not-for-profits who are doing the real work.
The congressional members of Congress from Indiana have always prided themselves on two things. Yeah. One, trying to make every vote you're supposed to make in Congress, and two, always coming home on the weekends.
Yes.
Julia did it. Mm-hmm. Andy Jacobs did it. Mike Pence did it. Dan Burton, not so much. Mm-hmm. But you guys come home.
Yeah.
How rigid is this schedule, and how unpredictable is the schedule where all of a sudden you tell the community, I'm going to be out King Park on the day Martin Luther King's assassinated, and all of a sudden the speaker says, no, y'all working tonight?
Absolutely. You know, we have this battle because the Republicans control the House, the Democrats control the Senate barely, and oftentimes you'll think you're going to get out there one day and end up watching that votes have been pushed back another day because they can't come to an agreement with the Senate. And that's the environment that we live in. I mean, 15, 20 years ago when my grandmother served, when Andy served, there was much more continuity. There was much more camaraderie across the aisle. The place has become so contentious, Amos, and the schedule has become so unpredictable. Now, you know, I'm here, you know, on the weekends, unless there's some, you know, unusual commitment out of town that I have for the party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here on most weekends, you know, I'm Tuesday through Thursday, Monday through Friday. But oftentimes the schedule gets crazy. Sometimes we're voting until 2 and 3 in the morning, or sometimes we're voting until the weekend. It's crazy.
239-1310, 239-1310, Zaps News, Namus. We will take a break and we'll come back with our many moments with Congressman Andre Carson tomorrow. I'll read you some of these standards that I got to vote on Monday. And it goes to the State Board of Education, and people are saying these are wonderful standards, and there's other ones saying that there's some middle schools that could have written some better standards. And these are what affect what our kids are going to learn in school as early as this August. And I'm still trying to figure out, why did they tell me like last night and send me the stuff, and I got to decide on this thing on Monday? That's no fun. So after, at least, do y'all... I'm going to talk to Congressman Carson to break about how to speed read through a lot of documents. This afternoon's with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. A couple of text messages at 37890, keyword Amos. Congressman, what happens if a person loses their insurance coverage after the marketplace is closed? Will they be fined in 2015?
Well, there are still some opportunities there, income-based, in terms of these folks could very well qualify for Medicaid. But they should call our office for additional information.
And then somebody's complaining that mortgage servicers are still into their dirty tricks. Some refuse to respond to complaints. Congress needs to step in to put a stop. NationStar Bank of America are using underhanded tactics to steal people's homes.
283-6516, 283-6516. Andrea Martin does our housing.
And you're doing something for small businesses with the GSA. That's the ones that run all these federal buildings.
Absolutely. I am the ranking member over economic development. We have Administrator Ann Calayo tomorrow, April the 16th, 10 a.m. at the Indianapolis Central Public Library in the Riley Meeting Room. If you are a small business and you're interested in doing work with the federal government, please sign up. 283-6516. Ask for Jessica Garcia. Sign up. You don't want to miss it. If you are a small business and you want to expand your operation and you're interested in entering with the big dogs, you want to do business with the federal government, please You don't want to miss out on this forum. It's at the public library at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow. The big library.
Our small business forum.
Let me go to Frank right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Frank.
Hi. Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
I'm from Carson.
Hello.
I got a question concerning Medicare, please.
Yes, sir.
I'm hearing some talk, and I'm kind of worried about it. I'm 63 years old, about eliminating or privatizing Medicare funding. I just want to know what we can do to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, that was talked under the Bush administration, privatizing Social Security and looking at other options. That's not a topic of discussion in this Congress. I don't think it'll be a topic of discussion in the next Congress. We're watching it very closely, but no, I am against any attempts at privatization. Know that.
All right, let me go to Karen at 239-1310. Hi, Karen.
Oh, good morning. Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to address the issue. I called the other day and also spoken with Ajabu. And I know that Julia Carson did a lot of great things for the city of Indianapolis and her reputation. I loved her. I loved her, and I appreciate things she did. I don't know Andre that well. I don't know him that well. But I'm just saying that anybody that's trying to better our city, they need to know about the Apostolic Church and Apostolic Faith, because they're looking in all the wrong places for solutions. And as long as you're looking on being led by other people, you're going to make mistakes. But if you get in the book and read that second chapter of Actions, and see how things were done in the book, and read that the second chapter and the 38th verse, and you'll see the blood of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. That's what we're celebrating at this time. Come under the blood, the leadership of the Word of God. Jesus is the only God, not a job who's what do you call him?
Thank you.
All right, I appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Brown, and good afternoon, Senator Carson.
Hello, ma'am.
I'd like to leave my number at the desk for Congressman Carson, regarding Medicare.
Okay.
It's kind of personal.
Okay. All right. I tell you what, Anonymous, hold on, and Chris will give your information and share that with the congressman, okay?
Thank you very
much. You're quite welcome. That'll allow me to talk to Linda at 239-1310. Hi, Linda. Linda?
Hi.
You're on the air.
I have a question for the congressman.
He's right here.
Okay. Congressman Carson, is it true that Congress proposed a budget cut that cuts the funding for the SNAP and other programs that help the low-income users? And is there anything that you can do to address that since you're, you know, in the minority?
Great question. You know, it's not the entire Congress. It's a gentleman by the name of Paul Ryan who was here last week. His budget proposal is clear. He wants to cut funding for education. He wants to cut funding for workforce training. He wants to cut funding for health and other scientific research. He wants to cut health cut funding for public health, clean energy, advanced manufacturing, some of the stuff we talk about when you drive up I-65 and you see wind turbines for several counties where a lot of Hoosiers who have manufacturing skills could be building these wind turbines. He wants to cut that kind of funding. He also wants to cut funding for public safety, our police officers, our first responders, those folks who are putting their lives on the line each and every day to make our community safer.
On our monitor, we're seeing the moment of silence and the vice president and others at the start of the Boston Marathon in downtown Boston at the memorial today of what happened a year ago. How can somebody, Democrat or Republican, cut money to first responders, particularly first responders in communities all across the country?
Well, I think they justify it. You know, his budget proposal cuts nearly $1 trillion all the way through 2024. It's a 10-year budget. But I think that they rationalize it by simply saying that local first responders should be a responsibility of local and state government, not the federal government. And in fact, many police officers, myself included, were hired as a result of COPS grants. And as long as we continue to cut this kind of funding, we will fail to attract the necessary and the qualified personnel that it takes to run an effective police agency and an effective fire department.
Did his budget take into account that the deficit has been reduced the last year or so under President Obama?
Well, I think Mr. Ryan has presidential ambitions. And so being the chairman of the budget committee, his budget, if successful, it won't be successful, but he's using that as a way of leveraging himself into increasing his national profile and possibly leveraging that to get a stage as a presidential candidate or a VP candidate.
One of your opponents strongly criticized the fact that and they felt that there needed to be some stronger civil rights enforcement by the Justice Department across the country, not just here on incidents in Indianapolis, but he used the whole Zimmerman situation. Should there be a stronger civil rights presence here with some of the issues that we're facing in Indianapolis?
I think we have always had a very strong civil rights presence, going back from Dr. Andrew J. Brown to the great Bill Crawford and Tommy Brown, yourself and many others, T. Garrett Benjamin and I Reverend Jonathan Bailey. We've had a lot of Dr. William Hanna, the late Dr. William Hanna, my mentor. We've had a lot of leaders in our community, Dr. Brown, Attorney Faye Williams, who have been at the forefront of this issue. I just think that, you know, we don't get the same kind of attention that a New York or Miami gets.
On violence in our community.
Yeah.
And I know you can't be on one of our Your Life Matters PSAs because this is an election year.
Yes.
And you're running in this area, but would other members of the Congressional Black Caucus who aren't running in this area be willing to do some announcements on Your Life Matters, talk about how violence has affected their city?
I have spoken to Maxine Waters. I've spoken to Barbara Lee. I've spoken to Jim Clyburn. I've spoken to John Lewis, who, in fact, will try to get to the 50th anniversary. They're more than willing to come and help out. We just have to line it up to set it up for them.
All right. If people want more, our standard question for folks that are running, if people want more information about your campaign, Andre Carson running for the Democratic nomination for Congress in the 7th District, how do people get a hold of you for the campaign side?
AndreCarson.com. 226-9400, 226-9400, AndreCarson.com. Ask for Lauren or ask for our campaign manager, Andrea Scott.
All right, and all of our candidate interviews will be posted by in the morning on PraiseIndy.com. Congressman Andre Carson, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Always a pleasure. God bless you, bro.